Lord, we're just so grateful and thankful, Lord, for your love for Calvary, Lord. Your desire, Lord, to become a man, become like us, to humble yourself, Lord, that you might die a death, Lord, that we deserved. And you did that to bring us into your family. You know and you knew what you were getting, Lord. You know who we are, Lord, and you know the work you want to. You give us a deposit of your spirit, Lord. You know the work you want to do in our lives, Lord. And I pray tonight, God, would be just part of that work, Lord, that we'd see more of you more clearly, God, and you'd speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, that it would encourage us, Lord, the things we're talking about, Lord, talking about faith, that it would just encourage our hearts to continue, God, a life and a walk of faith, just believing you, Lord. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Habakkuk chapter 2, I mean, faith, I mean, it's huge. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 says, the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by faith. It's the most repeated Old Testament verse in the New Testament. It's three times, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. And he does that because it's important. Our faith is important. 500 years ago, Martin Luther made his pilgrimage to Rome, and he went to St. John's Chapel, where there's a staircase that believed to be Pilate, came out of Pilate's judgment hall. And part of that pilgrimage was to go up these stairs, not by your feet, but you'd have to go up on your hands and knees and kiss every step. And Martin Luther was in the process of that. Going up these stairs, and the promise was from the Pope, indulgences. You'd be able to sin or do whatever. And on his way up, that scripture that the just shall live by faith came to his mind, and he stood up and walked down the stairs. And really, that was the heart behind the Reformation, that it wasn't by works, but man was to live by faith. Right, believing what God said is true. And it's important for us to hold on to that. What is faith? Conviction of belief. The dictionary said it's a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. That's what faith is. This is what Hebrews chapter 11 says it is. And I got this out of the Living Bible, which Jeff reads quite often. I'm just joking. But it's very accurate. It says this, Hebrews 11, verse 1, says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It's the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. Men of God in days of old were famous for their faith, and it's really believing God, trusting him, and taking God at his word. And it goes against oftentimes what we feel and even times what we see, right? It's faith. Mark 4, if you want to turn there with me for a second. I'm sure you're going to go there.
No.
Thank God.
Not yet.
Mark 4 says this in verse 35. And then I'm going to hand it off to Jeff. Jesus says this in verse 35. The same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, he said unto his disciples, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship so that it was now full. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, they awoke him and said unto him, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? God's word, faith comes by hearing. Hebrews 10 says, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And partway through the trip, there's a storm, right? That's normal. In this world, the Bible says, Jesus said, you know, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's normal for our faith. It's actually God, Jesus is going to exercise our faith. We'll talk more about that because it's like a spiritual muscle that we need to move forward in our life. It's something that we have to have, right? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So he's teaching the disciples this lesson. He says, guys, I said we're going to go to the other side. I didn't say we're going to go halfway and sink. What I've told you is true, and it's believing and holding on to the word of God. And you know, for me, what I wanted to share with you guys, and I'll get to it, faith and hope are linked together. They have to be, right? We're going to I'm going to share a little bit of that, but that's what the next step is. As we walk in faith, there's hope for our lives. As we believe and trust the word of God, what Jesus said, what the Bible says, we have hope in our lives, right? So there's going to be, in this world, you're going to have tribulation because what do we battle against? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil knows that what's connected to faith is hope. So he's going to come against that. And he's going to cause you and I to question what God says. That happened at the very beginning. Did God say, hath God said? That's what the devil said to Eve. Hath God said that? Is that what God really said? Is that what he really meant? Are you sure that's what he said? And the devil is going to test you guys and try you guys. And the storms are coming, right? God is going to increase our faith every time. Trials and tribulations, they're coming. In this world, we're going to have them, right? And Jesus is exercising this muscle. You know, faith says yes, the Bible says yes, but nature and our feelings so often go in the opposite direction, and they're telling you something else. But we always have to hold on to the word of God and what God said. So right now, the Lord has him in the gym, right? And he's got you in the gym and me in the gym, right? And he's working out our faith for something better.
One of the things I found interesting about the word faith, you know, first thing I did today, I've had a crazy week, so really today was my time of preparation. So I open up my concordance, and I mean, the word faith is mentioned several times in the Bible, but one of the things that I didn't know until I learned it today is it's only mentioned twice in the Old Testament, the word faith. Once in Deuteronomy, it talked about children in whom there is no faith, and those who would come under judgment, and then Habakkuk 2:4, like Harley just read, that the just or the righteous shall live by faith. The Old Testament gives us two different directions based upon what we do with faith. And I think as we think about these things, obviously we know that there's a saving faith. Yesterday I had the opportunity to do a funeral. I just felt impressed at the end of the funeral to just pray with people if they wanted to receive Christ, and I'd give them a new Bible from the church here, and a little handicapped boy came up and said, I said that prayer, can I have a Bible? And we recognize that there is a saving faith. You know, Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for by grace you are saved by faith. So we understand that we're saved by grace. Obviously, faith it takes to save us, but where is our faith? Faith in the Greek is the word pistis. It literally means that which is believed, our doctrine. Hebrews, Harley read it. I'm going to read it out of a different translation. The Phillips translation says Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith means that we have full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things that we cannot see. See, on the other side of saving faith, there's got to be living faith if we're going to be a people of faith. And that simply means we're implementing what God says to be true in our lives, and we're letting that be our compass and our GPS, in spite of anything else we see. I love what Tony Evans said. He says, faith is believing something is so, even when it's not so, trusting it'll be so simply because God said so. That's his definition of faith, and I just remembered it because God kind of imprinted it into my heart when he said it. But, you know, when you go through Hebrews, he mentions all these names, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, goes on, David, Samuel, all these people in the book of Hebrews had a living faith. You see, just getting saved is not enough. We've already seen this. If you've been here on Sunday mornings, we've gone through 2 Timothy. We have a holy calling, and we have God's purposes for our life. But I truly believe that faith is a catalyst in our heart to accomplish that which God has called us to do. If you'll turn to Romans 4 with me real quick. Abraham gets his promise, you know, he's going to have a son. I mean, he's beyond the ability. You know, Sarah's beyond the ability to bear children. And God speaks something impossible into his life. Verse 17 of Romans 4 says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong," or literally grew strong, "in faith, giving glory to God." Abraham had a choice to make. He said, "I can either look at my impossible circumstances, or I can trust in what God spoke into my life." And he kept looking away from his circumstances, and he didn't forget what God had spoken into his life. And it says that he grew strong in the faith. And he says this, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." That's the kind of a walk our Lord wants to have with us. He wants us to be, I think if Jesus could have his way in his church today, is that he would just say, you know, "I just want my church to trust me like they used to." I really believe that. It says that he grew strong, but the thing with Abraham, you know, you look at things like that, you look at impossible situations, but God said, "But look what I see." He walked by faith and he did not walk by sight. He remembered what God had spoken into his life. Proverbs 3 tells us that we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways acknowledge him and he'll make our paths straight. Now we know Abraham bumbled a little bit. I mean, he went and he allowed his wife to talk him into doing something in the natural realm. He got away from the promise of God. He gets his Sarah's handmaid Hagar pregnant, and he birthed an Ishmael and created all kinds of problems that we're still reaping repercussions from today. Why? Because for that moment, he looked away from what God had told him. And I think the thing about Abraham, though, that we see as the father of the faith is that he did walk by faith and not by sight. Now, if you will, turn to Romans 10 with me real quick while we're in Romans. And there's a lot of talk about faith today. I mean, nobody talks about faith more than Oprah Winfrey. But nobody has spoken things that are more unbiblical than Oprah Winfrey, except maybe Howard Stern. LOL. You guys don't have to write that down. But Romans 10, 17 tells us this: "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So I need to recognize, to live a living faith before the Lord's eyes, that the source of my faith has to be the Word of God. He's not calling us to walk out just in a blind faith all the time. He's calling us to take steps out in His Word, to step out in the Scriptures, and to believe what He says to be true. God is looking for us to elevate this to be true above anything else to be true in our lives. This is the source of our faith. This is where we are to find our faith. This is what we're to operate from. The Bible tells us that the steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. "Order my steps by thy word, O Lord," the psalmist wrote. So we need to remember, when we talk about being men of faith, and I hope that we are, is that we look at this and we recognize that this is the way that God wants to guide our lives. And that if we'll step into this direction in our life, we're going to see God accomplish great things. I mean, I can't believe what God has accomplished for us this far in the ministry. It hasn't come without its licks, that's for sure. Just over simply responding to the prodding to start a Christian coffee shop years ago. And just, it's been a venture of faith, and we're looking forward to see what God's going to do in the future, but just to see what he's done in the lives that he's touched, just because he wanted to do something. Because God has purposes, God has callings, and he has something that he wants to accomplish, and he wants his church to live out his word. Because when we live out his word, God can use our lives to accomplish things for his glory. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why it's so important that you and I are in the word of God. I can't emphasize to you guys enough. There's no Bible study that me or Harley could ever present to you that's going to be life-altering. But if we can exhort you week after week to read your Bibles, that will alter your life for the good forever.
If you want to turn to Romans chapter 5 with me for a second. Paul is progressing through the book of Romans, and he's brought us to a life of faith. Abraham is our example of just believing God, taking him at his word in spite of. And Abraham had his failures and mess ups, but believing God, and even some of that wasn't, you know, perfect, right? But God is strengthening Abraham's faith. What Abraham believed at times, and his faith faltered at times, and Jeff might have mentioned it, you know, he tries, all right, God, let me help you, and right? And so in spite of that, what God said was true, and what God was going to do, what he was going to do, in spite of Abraham even at times. But as Paul's progressing here, in verse 1 it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it brings peace, our justification, that faith, we're justified, and we have peace with God. And it says, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, right? We have full access now. And it says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But then he says this, and this is the building blocks. This is what God's doing in our life. This is the exercise of faith that God's doing. He's bringing us to a point. And hope and faith, so often in the Bible, are interchangeable. God wants us to have hope for our lives. Because how many people here haven't sat at home or wherever you're sitting and thought, this situation is hopeless. What I'm going through is hopeless. What's going on? I don't see an end to this. I don't see any hope. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. I don't know how they're going to get through it. But something is happening in our lives, and God wants us to believe him and take him at his word. He says this, not only so, verse 3, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing also that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. God is exercising faith in our life that he might bring us to a hope. Because if you turn to Hebrews 11 with me just for a minute, the believers in that Paul was writing to in the book of Hebrews were going through great persecution, great tribulation. They were going through trouble. And what they wanted to do is quit. They wanted to give up. They wanted to give in. They wanted to cash the chips in because persecution was so great. They were losing their family. People were being persecuted to the death. They were losing businesses, homes, so much. And they thought, you know what? It's so much easier to not walk with God than it is to walk with him. And that's what the devil's telling them. That's what their flesh is telling them. And so the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And then as you read the book of Hebrews, you see all these examples. If you look at chapter 12 with me for a second, it says, because this is the context of what we look at in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. What the writer of Hebrews is saying is you can finish. No matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what the conditions are around you, no matter what you're going through, you can make it and you can run the race. And the witnesses we have aren't necessarily people looking down from heaven at your lives. They're lives that have already run the race under every circumstance possible, right? You look at a Noah. He's the only one. We were just at the ark last week. We're looking at this, you know, ark, massive ark that's the exact size that Noah constructed. 8 people on planet Earth made it on that ark, and God shut the door of everyone. Talk about going against the current and the culture and everything that can possibly be against you. That's what Noah did. He was a preacher of righteousness, right? Came in the most wicked days possible, he lived, right? I mean, you read Genesis chapter 6, and it was the worst conditions ever. And Noah was able to continue. What a witness to us. He gives us Enoch and all these men of faith that were able to continue. You know, obviously we can't go through all the book of all of chapter 11 and look at every single scenario. I wanted to. I wrote them all down. But if you do that, you have hope. If you take a little time and look at one person, say, "Oh my goodness, look at the conditions of planet Earth when this guy walked. He walked for 300 years, right? In the worst conditions ever, Enoch." When he walked with God, and God took him, right? The worst ever possible. Noah, preacher of righteousness. No, but talk about discouragement in the ministry. Nobody listened except for his family, right? Talk about discouragement. Man, doesn't anyone listen? Doesn't anyone want to hear what I have to say in the Word of God? Reaching every single facet of life that we can continue, but we have to hold on to the Word of God. What it says and what God tells us is true, and you can make it. And faith and hope are linked together to get us through in this life, to walk through this life no matter what.
Ephesians 6 tells us that we're to take the shield of faith, extinguish the fiery darts of the devil. You better believe that the devil's going to want to push us back, cause us to regress as God's trying to call us to advance for his kingdom. I think one of the things that we got to remember, I think one of the things we got to remember is that there is a true battle going on. What did Paul say? Paul said, "Fight the good fight of faith." And at the end of his life, he says that he had kept the faith. There's going to be a war. That thing's a piece of junk. That's all right. I'll exercise some faith. But that we're called to fight the good fight of faith because everything's going to come up against our trust in Jesus Christ. The devil's going to want to condemn us. We're going to get discouraged. He's going to unleash everything at us. And Paul's exhortation to a young pastor, Timothy, was to fight the good fight of faith. It is going to be a war to hold on to what we believe. Discouragement, circumstances, trials, all those things. Harley read that out of Mark. I was going to read it out of Luke's account. But Jesus told him, get in the boat and we're going over to the other side. And as that storm raged up against them, and what did they do wrong? Nothing. They were obedient. And then all of a sudden, adversity comes against obedience. And Jesus asked them, actually, I'll read that part to you. They said, "Master, we perish." And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" Look, we can trust in this, that if Jesus said you're going over, you're not going under. And if God has spoken something into your life, then you can hold on to that with all of your heart in spite of the circumstances that you're presently seeing that are there to discourage you and cause you to pull back and disbelieve. These things are all natural things that are used by the world, the flesh, and the devil to try to get us from staying our course and, like Paul at the end of the life, saying, "I've kept the faith." We're living in a day where people are no longer keeping the faith. They're not keeping the faith. They're not trusting God anymore because we've gotten into a realm where we're trusting in other things. Other things are usurping themselves over the authority of God's word in his church. People are more led by emotions. They're more led by feelings. They're more led by popular opinion or even things that seem to get results than they are by divine truth. And we cannot ever live a life of faith without making sure that the compass of it is divine truth. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews that God, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I'll tell you what, no matter what, God will love us in spite of anything. If we're saved, man, we're a child of God, God will love us. But there's something that I think is unpleasing to God when he looks at our lives and sees it is something that he cannot use because we do not trust. And I pray that would never be said of us. I think sometimes when the prompting of the Holy Spirit is there, that I want you to go and I want you to share the good news of my son, Jesus Christ, with that individual. And we recoil back, maybe in fear. The love of God does not change towards us. Our standing with God does not change, but it's displeasing to him because we're choosing not to be usable, because we're worried about circumstances more than being obedient to what his word tells us to do. Peter tells us, you better believe it's going to be tested. But he says that the trial of your faith, which is much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That the testing of our faith would be more precious than that of gold that perishes. God will test our faith to show us what we're made of, so that he might take us from faith to faith in greater degrees of usability. William Carey, who stepped into India, said, you know what? He goes, attempt great things for God and then expect great things from God. Only a man that says, you know what? I trust this in spite of anything else that I see can make a statement like that, go on to live a life like that, and bring forth fruit like that. A great man of God, because he chose to trust God's word over all other things.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I think that's the number one thing, our estimation of who God is, right? You come to God and who is God? How big is your God? Is anything too hard for him? Do you believe what he says? And that's what I think the writer of Hebrews is saying. You know, first you come to him, and I think we need to recognize who God is in our lives and what he's called us to. And we need to remember that. You must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That he's going to speak to you in your situation. He's going to walk you through and shepherd your life. Jesus said that he's a good shepherd. And he's going to take you by the hand. And he knows how to shepherd your life and carry you through this life. The hope we have isn't necessarily in this life. It's what Jesus is going to carry us through into eternal life, the next life, right? And he's going to meet us there. And then verse 7 says this, by faith Noah, and I talked about Noah for a second, but it says this, and I wanted to read it to you. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, right? No rain. There was never rain. At that time, there was a canopy around earth, and there was dew on the ground, and it had never rained up to that point. It says, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And if you look back in, and you don't have to turn there with me, I'll just read it to you. It says this back in Genesis chapter 6. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And the first part of the chapter talked about how bad earth was. And he says this to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. And he describes the ark a little bit there in chapter 6. In the end of chapter 6, it says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him to do. Right? Noah didn't say, ah, you know what, God, that's a little overboard with all the pitch on the inside and outside. Yeah, I think I can do it apart from that, you know. He didn't forget half of what God said. He didn't say, ah, you know what, I don't know if it's really going to rain. Guys, you know, maybe I'll make a small boat just in case. Noah did everything God told him to do. But the previous verse in Hebrews says, you need to know who God is, and he's a rewarder if you seek him. And I think that's where the believers fail today and why faith is failing today is I think we seek so many other things in this life. We put our heart and soul into so many things in this life, and we miss what God wants us to do with our life, this little vapor that we have. And then when tribulation and trials come, we forget that God says, hey, you're going across. Hey, jump in the boat. We're going to make it to the other side. We forget what God says, right? And it doesn't mean we're not going to make it. James 1 talks about that. Sometimes, you know, we just agonize like the disciples did all the way across the lake and wonder, how are we going to sink? God, don't you care about me? Man, my circumstances look so bad. And we walk through life discouraged, wonder if God loves us, has forgotten about us, cares about what we're going through. But the reality is Jesus slept on that boat. The storm didn't wake him. The wind didn't wake him. The cries of his disciples woke him. God, don't you care? And Jesus woke right up. Calm the wind and the sea. Guys, where's your faith? Did you forget what I said an hour ago? You know? And how many people do that? You get in the Word of God in the morning. You prepare yourself for the day. Man, I know it's going to be a tough day. Get in the Word. 5 minutes later, what did I read today? Where was I today? Oh my goodness, what happened? We forget. Forgetful hearers of the word that brings faith. Right? We need to be careful.
I think God so much just wants to bring his word to life for us. And he wants us to learn that we can trust him and as we hold on to it. You know, George Mueller, I think we spoke about him before. You know, as he's raising all these orphans, he made a commitment that he wasn't going to ever ask anybody for anything because he held on to this one verse, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, he said, let your request be made known unto God. And he just trusted that verse. God met his every need because he knew that God was Jehovah Jireh. That's who he knew him to be. He didn't have to send out, he didn't have fundraisers or send out begging letters or anything like that. He just wanted Jehovah Jireh to take care of these orphans that God had asked him to take care of, and God never let them down. They'd be broke, get a check out of nowhere, get a letter with it. I don't know, for some reason, I just really felt impressed that you needed this money, you know, and you've heard about some of the other bread trucks breaking down out front and feeding the orphans and all that, But, you know, one of the scriptures that stands out to me is in Luke's gospel. If you want to turn there with me, because I think it's a good one to underline if you write in your Bibles like I do. Luke 18. He says this on the heels of giving a parable of a woman who would come to an unjust judge for her need. And obviously we serve a wonderful judge, a godly judge, a holy judge, and we have our needs. But she was persistent. Like he said, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. And, you know, there's so many things. Like, I don't know, maybe many of you guys in here have prayed for revival, but how diligent are you about praying for revival? You know, to see the sweeping of the Holy Spirit in our region, you know? How diligent am I to go before, you know, the authority and to ask and to ask and to request and to request and to request and to seek and seek? And finally, he, who's an unjust judge, grants her heart's desire, her need. But as he closes it out in verse 8, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. But he says this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What is he going to find people trusting in? who is he going to find people trusting in? We have more people that trust in a U.S. government than they do Jesus Christ that call themselves Christians. We have more people trusting in their employer than we do in Jesus Christ who call themselves Christians. God wants to know, when he returns, is he going to find faith on the earth? Our trust in him, is it on the incline or on the decline? Prophetically, we're told in the scriptures that things will be on the decline. Thus, we're made aware of that so we do not become a casualty of that. But our faith cannot grow until, number one, we're in the Word of God, and number two, we implement the Word of God in our lives. James teaches us that we have a faith that works. It's a working faith. It's not dormant. It's what he tells us, not being just a hearer of the Word, because hearing the Word of God obviously develops faith, but doing it really cements it in our lives. Not just to be a hearer of it, but a doer also. I'll give you a quick testimony if you'll turn to James with me, chapter 5, if you didn't hear that. I think that for us as believers, we got to understand a couple things. No matter what we're staring, whatever's staring us in the face of our life today, is number one, God's good, and number two, whatever he chooses to do, he's got a purpose behind. We don't always get things answered the way we want them to. Sometimes we engage the Word of God, and maybe it doesn't work out the way that we thought it would. But nevertheless, the secret things belong to the Lord, and I can trust that I know that God knows what he's doing, and my God is good. So whatever he's doing that I don't understand is something good he's doing. When I met Danelle, she told me that she was going to have a surgery because she had a cancer tumor. And, you know, at the time, you know, I was like, whoa, you know. She's young. She's 19 at the time. And I said, we're going to go to Farmington up to Calvary Chapel and hear Bill Gallatin preach because he's one of my favorite teachers. And I said, when we're up there, I'm going to get you anointed with oil. And she's like, she's kind of new in the faith. She's like, well, what's that all about, you know? So James chapter 5, verse 14 says this, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. So we go up there. She's nervous. I'm not, but she was nervous, shy. And we went back into their prayer room, and one of the pastors up there anointed her with oil and prayed over. They're very loving, very kind, very compassionate, just as Christians should be, no matter what situations we find ourselves in. And after they prayed for her, you know, we went home. On the way home, I experienced this peaceful thing. I'll share that with you sometime. But Monday, she calls me. She goes, doctor. Or she had an appointment with a doctor. And the following day, she goes, I got a call from the doctor. They told me, don't get my hopes up, but that tumor they're going to take out of me is gone, you know. But what if I didn't implement the Word of God in that situation? And I'm not saying that, you know, God's always going to heal, you know, but I think we got to give him the opportunity to show his divine power in our lives and what he's able to do. He's better than Blue Cross and Blue Shield, amen? You know, he's better than Strong or Rochester General, though I'm thankful for all those things, you know, he's better. And I think sometimes we need to make sure that we're seeking you first, you know. I've got anointing oil in my pulpit and I barely ever use it. And then I find out, I had a brother last week, came up for prayer, you know, afterwards, wanted prayer for get anointed with oil, which was just a blessing. But I barely ever use it because I usually find out, like, after someone's been to the specialist for the 10th time, would you pray for me? Well, how about coming up early and we'll throw some oil on you and maybe you don't have to go 10 times, you know? But it's just implementing God's word into the situations of our life and watching what his hand decides to do. He didn't have to heal her. It was still a step of faith, and I believe that it is faith that pleases God. So even if she wouldn't have got healed, I think he would have been pleased by the fact that we took what the Bible said and we did that for the situation we found ourselves in. And I think that's what God wants to do in our lives, in our workplace, in the raising of our children, in our marriages, that we would just simply implement the scriptures, just simply be a doer of the Word of God, simply listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because you never know. You never know what God's going to do. last night, I just felt prompted. I've never done this before. I'm doing a funeral. I do an altar call, a silent one, A little boy comes up afterwards. I said that prayer. Could I have a Bible? I don't know what God's going to do. He's a little handicapped boy, But I just took the prompting of the Holy Spirit and just kind of went with it. And who knows? I don't know what else, if any other hearts were touched. But, I don't need to know. All I need to do is yield and obey to what I feel like God's leading me to do. And I'll guarantee you, if we will do that, God knows who he can use in this room and who he can't. And I'll guarantee you, if we'll start to just take a step of faith with the little promptings of the Lord, if we'll step over the hurdle of fear that is the enemy of faith, that we're going to go from faith to faith. We're going to get stronger in faith. And more doors are going to open, more opportunities are going to come, because we're not going to let our faith stay dormant. We're going to exercise, and we're going to watch it work in us, through us, and hopefully touch those around us.
The last thing I wanted to share, like I said, I really believe faith is linked with hope, and Corinthians really links that as Paul is sharing about love and gifts of the Spirit. He said, now abideth these three things. It's faith, hope, and love. And I think to have faith, to believe God, take him at his word, and trust him, and then it leads us to have hope in spite of all hope, in spite of what the world is telling us, in spite of how things look, we can have hope. We can trust what God says about our lives, who we are. Do you wake up in the morning, have you ever felt unloved? Like, God, oh man, I messed up. Do you love me? Do you care? And having faith and allowing and believing God's word above how we feel or circumstances brings hope to our lives. And it helps us to continue. And I believe it's really linked to love, right? Because you don't have any faith, you don't have any hope, you're not a very loving person. You're not going to love. Because you don't feel loved. You don't feel God's presence. You don't have any hope for your life. And this is, turn to Psalm 42 with me just for a minute. And I think this is a message you have to preach to yourself all the time. Because we're going to be discouraged. We're going to go through things where we need to trust the Lord. We need to have hope. The psalmist says in Psalm 42, I think he says it in Psalm 43 too. Also, he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope in God. Right? Trust God. Have faith, is what he's saying. Why? And we can be so discouraged by all the circumstances around us. And the psalmist says, why are you going to allow yourself to walk like that every single day? Hope in God. Trust his word. Have faith, is what he's saying. Right? I believe the New Testament side of that is what, and you don't have to turn there, Jeff read it already, is what Abraham had. It's in chapter 4, verse 18 of Romans. You don't have to turn there. It says, who against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He just believed God, Abraham, right? He hoped in God. In spite of who he was, his inability to have children, or Sarah's, right? Because really it was her problem. And Abraham tried to help the Lord, maybe this will work, God. God's promises were very specific, that you and Sarah, you're going to have a son. I remember God did, and then I'm going to be done. But I think we need to preach that to ourselves. We need a Psalm 42. We need to be reminded of the hope we have in the Word of God and the promises of God for our life. That's faith. That's a life of faith. Somebody that's going to say, you know what, God, I believe you above anything else in our life. And I forgot my example I was going to share. Just came in and left. So, and I think we need to preach that, right? And Jeff shared this scripture. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, right? It's a fight. It's a battle for faith. Faith is a battle. To believe what God said, to take the word of God and say, it says this, but I feel like this, and my circumstances look like this, as Paul, did I call him Peter maybe? Paul, as he writes to Timothy, you know, in prison, suffered all this persecution, going through all these things. But he could have said, man, Lord, I thought you loved me. I thought you had good plans for me and purposes, right? Your thoughts for me are more than the sands of the sea. They're, and how could they be good with what I'm going through? I'm in prison. I've been scourged. I've been left out to sea. I've been left, you know, I'm shipwrecked. All these different things that Paul went through. He says, you know what? I'm going to fight a good fight of faith. Timothy, you need to. That's what I'm doing. And then at the end of his life, you know, he says that. You know, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. Right? That's his life. It's a life of faith God's called us to, right? Believing him, taking God at his word. That's the only way through this life. It's the only way, right? And God's going to exercise that for us. It's a spiritual muscle. We're going to go through tribulations and different things that are going to produce patience, endurance, that's ultimately going to lead us to hope. Wow, God, I went through all that, but you promised me this, and it came to pass. And then the next thing that may be a little bigger in your life, and I believe God, and it came to pass. And that's the way he works, and he exercises that faith muscle in our life to believe him and trust him and to hold on to what he says.
You know, I just want to encourage you to choose to believe. Choose it over anything. Being outnumbered, emotions, opinions of others. Choose to believe. There's a lot out there. There's signs. Talk about belief and faith and all those things. But I just want to tag to it. Choose to believe your Bible. Choose to believe. You know, I'll never forget just going through Genesis chapter 1. And it was years ago when the Lord showed that to me. But it was like 5 or 6 times in the first chapter to set something in stone that we can take through the rest of the scriptures. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And if you will just believe what God says, it will be so. The ground my feet are planted on right now is under a curse. My feet will be planted on this ground someday when a curse will be lifted and I will be reigning on earth with Jesus Christ. I believe it. I talk about what Harley's talking about, having hope. From what? From a faith. From where? From the Word of God. We are a blessed people. If we trust this word, it's going to transform our lives. So may God use us. May he open doors of opportunities. May we follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. May we trust his word above everything else. May it truly be the compass that we live by. So, Father, I thank you for my brothers that are here today, Lord. And so we look at a topic of faith, God, and feeling so inadequate with the reality of the depths of it, God. I just pray that there would be things in scriptures that we've looked at tonight that would just come alive in our lives. And that I pray, Lord, maybe some men here today, Lord, they're obeying you, but all of a sudden there's a tempest upon them. Help them to know they're not going under. They're going over. Lord, remind us of some of the things that you've spoken into our lives that maybe we've lost sight of over the years. Bring those promises and those truths back to the surface of our heart that we might hold on to them with all that we have, that we would keep the faith. And like Harley said, Lord, that it would be that faith that would be producing great hope, that we would be a people of hope, faith, hope, and love. So I thank you and I ask the richest blessings, Lord, over the households of the men that are here tonight. I thank you for this time for us just to sit at your feet and hopefully to hear from you. That it would be a time where iron would just sharpen iron and we would experience the blessing of your presence and experience the blessing of just being exposed to your truth. You're such a gracious and kind God, and I truly believe there's so much that you want to accomplish through our lives if we will just choose to believe what you say to be true above all other things. So help us, Lord. Help us strengthen our faith, Lord. Give us a stronger faith as the days become stronger against us. May the faith that you put in us grow strong within us. In Jesus' name, amen.